Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
It's just not the same without a harmonica.
Boy, you keep mentioning the harmonica. I put it away.
Yeah. You know why I mention it? Because I'm still stunned.
You know what I'm going to do?
No.
I'm going to practice the harmonica. Maybe I'll take a couple of lessons, and I'll shock you guys one day.
Really?
Really being able to play it well.
Seriously?
I'll do that. I think it'll be great.
I've
always wanted to learn an instrument. Can you take harmonica lessons?
Yes, you can. Yeah. I don't know who's going to teach you.
And that's the one you chose?
Of all the things, right. You always said you wanted to be a rock star playing the guitar. Now it's a harmonica.
Because it's the cheapest, it's the easiest to keep in my pocket.
Why don't you, if you want something small too, why don't you play a ukulele?
I have a ukulele.
Oh my God.
I have a ukulele given to me by Ringo Starr.
Given
to me by his publicist, who said it was from Ringo. So
you know,
she might have been making that up.
That's not a really good story. You know, and we have a really good show.
Speaking of that, hi there, boys and girls. I think I'm going to sneeze, but let's continue. If I sneeze, you take over.
Okay, good.
Hi there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen.
Please sneeze.
It's coming on. Oh, I think I fought it off. Welcome to the show. It's the Tony and Gary Show. I'm Tony.
I'm Gary.
We are joined by...
Your voice is changing.
I shouldn't have fought the sneeze off.
Our little Tony reached puberty.
You introduce Rob. Let me do something.
And I'd like to introduce you to our faithful ward, Rob Ford Jr., our producer, engineer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
I just witnessed why Tony is the professional that he is.
Yeah. Why? Because I handed it off
Did
so
he just
smoothly.
Handed it off? He handled it well?
You know what happens to me sometimes?
What happens, Tony?
That I have not seen happen to anybody else on TV. There have been probably 3, 4, 5 occasions when I'm on TV at Channel 5, Fox 5 here in Washington, where I have sneezed on the air. It's just come on very suddenly. It might be during a, I think it's happened during a story once. It's happened a couple of times while my co-anchor was reading. And it's weird because you don't normally see that.
No.
I don't recall ever seeing anyone sneeze on TV.
I've certainly never seen you sneeze on air in all the years we spent together at GMA, but farting was a big thing.
Well, you know. That would be terrible. Imagine that.
You know what
would have been funny?
What?
Standing with the crowd downstairs and just doing that and seeing how the crowd will react. Because they'd want to try to be cool, I would think, because they're on TV. But then imagine if you're watching TV, you're seeing a weatherman stand in front of a crowd, and behind him, the crowd is kind of waving like, what's that smell?
And then the weatherman goes, there's going to be wind. There's going to be a wind coming through right here. You know, this reminds me of a quick thing that we shouldn't know this about somebody. But do you remember the actress Ruth Warwick?
Yeah.
Ruth Warwick played Orson Welles' wife in Citizen Kane.
That's the best thing I know. The thing I mainly know
And
her
then
for.
She had a huge soap opera career that lasted forever. But I knew somebody who worked on a soap with her. And you know, this is strange.
Here we go.
This is not the legacy you want. I said, wow, working with Ruth Warwick, you know, from Mercury Theater days. That must have been so exciting. And he said, it was, but she had chronic gas. She's dead now. Does it say that on her tombstone?
I wonder if it's on her Wikipedia page.
We can add it.
Yeah, right. That's right. It could be there for a day.
Citizen Kane awards for soaps and bad gas.
It'd be great if it's like in the top. Ruth Warwick, a chronic gas sufferer, starred in Orson Welles.
Well, she
Citizen
had
Kane.
Chronic gas. I think that the people around her were the sufferers.
That's right.
Now, we weren't going to start the show with this.
No, nowhere on the list did it say Ruth Warwick gassed.
Sorry.
I'm not sure how we got there. I don't even remember. But it's actually apropos, is that the word?
Yes.
Talking about Ruth Warwick and
Citizen
Kane. Thank you. Because on today's episode, you remember about a month ago, we did a movie trivia contest. I was asking you movie trivia.
Yeah.
And you did fabulously, much better. You got everything right, I believe.
I did much better than I expected.
You did much better than I thought you would do, because the way I did it, I would give you the plot of the movie,
yes,
and you'd have to come up with the movie. And when you hear that, you think, well, that's easy. No, that's not an easy thing, because you're kind of working backwards.
And you know what? You did stump me twice. I made you repeat the plot, and somehow just some things came together.
Your back end.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Yes, I did.
And we're back. And we're
You're right, somehow.
That's a radio term.
It's a theme. So we're going to do that again. And today, it's not just you, because I kind of wanted to stump you. Well, today you've got a challenge.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yes. You're going
What are you doing to me today?
It is going to be a trivia contest between you and Rob Spiewak from the Michael Mara Show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because he knows
movies.
Oh, yeah, that's why I want to
do. What do I want to do that for?
Well, you know movies, too. I want to see who knows them better.
Okay.
All right, I think you'll both be very good.
I think you're very mean.
And there's a prize involved, too.
There is?
Yes, there is.
What's her name?
Trixie.
All right. Trixie will be making her first appearance on the talk show.
All right. Listen, we thank
you. Does Rob know he's doing this?
He knows. He knows.
I didn't.
Now, you know, I haven't explained the format to him.
I hope you didn't give him, like, you know, stuff to study.
Oh, no.
Adult Contemporary is the format, right?
Another radio joke. He knows it's a movie trivia contest. That's all he knows.
Okay, all right.
So I'll explain it to him when he calls.
All right.
Anyway, listen, we thank you all for listening. Thank you for the response to last week's show with May Pang.
They liked it.
Yeah, and I was in heaven, you know, being a big Beatles fan and all that kind of stuff.
She was wonderful.
The Beatles!
So she was great. And more to come, boys and girls. More to come. That's all we'll say. Listen, thank you for subscribing to the show or listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do us a favor, subscribe. iTunes podcast, just search The Tony Perkins Show. Tell your friends. That's how we're getting word out about this show. So encourage your friends. It's free, as you know. I think you can subscribe on any number of podcast providers, right? Is that right, Rob?
The best way to go is to go through iTunes. Even if you listen somewhere else, it really helps us out if you just go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. You don't have to listen there, but getting that subscription in really helps out the
show. Helps us out. So please do that. Do the same with The Mike O'Mara Show and all the shows on the More Network.
And
we
also, we would like, you know, we keep talking about a 5-star review.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that. How about a 12-star review?
12 stars, anything over 5. Yeah, 5 and up.
Anything beyond a general or an admiral.
And I told you, I did look finally a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, all but 2 or 3 are 5-star reviews.
I read them. They're wonderful,
aren't they great?
Except one.
I know.
And we talked about the fact that bothered both of us. You know?
That's amazing. 100, literally, when I read it, 110.
Good
reviews.
Ones. Really good.
Yeah, and 2 bad ones, and those stuck in my car.
Right.
Yeah.
There's the performer for you,
right,
you know?
That's right. That's what always happens. Yeah. I want to mention something very quickly. This show is debuting on Saturday. Saturday, March 14th. If you're hearing it on Saturday, you're in the Washington area. Tomorrow night, I am one of the Newsbreak guests at this year's Hexagon show. Gary, this is a great show. If you're ever in town for it, you should... Oh, you know what we should
do? Will I be here?
We should do it together.
Oh, I would love to.
Here's what it is.
What is it?
Hexagon, it is a political review that is put on by volunteers. They've been doing it, not the same volunteers, but a volunteer crew for 60 years. This is the 60th anniversary show. It's mostly about politics, but it's kind of like Saturday Night Live, but it's very Washington-based.
And now you're hosting it?
I'm not hosting it. Here's the great thing. They have dancers, and the crew writes it, and they perform it, and it's usually really great. There are always a couple of numbers that are like, yeah, they could have cut that out. But basically, it's a fun show, and they get local, quote-unquote, celebrities or politicians or what have you to come in and do 3 or 4 news breaks during the show. It's like Weekend Update. An anchor desk comes out. Sue Palka and I do it quite a bit together.
Really?
Yeah. I forget who I'm doing it with tomorrow night, but we sit there, and we have news stories, funny news stories that have been written up. I used to write some of them myself. I haven't had time to do that this year, but generally speaking, it's probably the most highly regarded part of the show because the jokes, you know, they're straight to the point. It's not a song and dance or anything, and you get to ad lib around it. So I always have a partner. I should see if next year you and I could do it together.
That would be great.
You would love it. You would love it.
I love it now. You're doing it when?
It's tomorrow night. I think this is the final week of the show. So I'm doing one tomorrow, Sunday. There are a couple more shows.
Who are you doing it with?
I don't remember.
I can still be here.
Well, we already have someone booked.
What if you told them that they can't do it?
I'm not in that position.
What position would it take? You just let them know that they can't do it and that I'm going to.
I'll tell you what. I'll find out who it is. If you want to flatten their tires or something like that, you can do that.
I've got a knife.
Well, how about this? It's the, what is it, the Hexagon?
Hexagon. The name of the show this year, I don't remember, but it's the 60th anniversary Hexagon performance.
Okay, how about we take Tony's partner to be and Gary, and we put them in the Octagon, and we'll let them battle it out and
face
see
off?
What happens. Yeah, exactly.
I got to face off on the show today. I got to battle somebody tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to prove your stuff on this episode.
That's right. Boy, oh boy.
Anyway, if you can come out, come see that. It'll be great fun. Also, those of you of Irish descent, the show is airing during St. Patrick's week, so happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you of Irish descent?
No, I'm Norwegian.
Norwegian. Oh, okay.
I am.
You are not.
Gary O'Stein. I am so.
I thought that was just your initial. Gary O'Stein.
It's like Joel Osteen.
Yeah, right.
Why am I mentioning him?
I'm not a big, St. Patrick's a huge holiday, and it's great. It is kind of crazy, some of what goes on.
Yeah, but you and I don't drink.
No, I know.
So there's not much for us to do.
I mean, you can go to a parade. Yeah. There's also that, but it mainly seems to be drinking.
So I can make believe I'm throwing up.
You know, I used to, when I was a DJ in bars for a while, back in the 70s, I think early 80s, something like that, and I would work on St. Patrick's Day. It would be crazy.
Oh, me too. I was a bartender.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It would be insane.
I hated that.
A lot of vomit.
Well, we didn't serve vomit, but so, because I never did. I mean, nobody ever said vomit on the rocks, please, with a twist. But sometimes the result was vomit, yes.
The end result. And also, just one other thing to mention, coming up on Friday, spring begins.
Yay! Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, we really need that. Boy, oh boy.
I feel like my son barely went to school this winter because of all the snow and the cancellations and everything. It was crazy.
Right.
Terrible. Glad you had some thoughts about that.
Don't you love when I just leave you dead like that? Because sometimes I think you probably think what I think, which is I think I talk too much sometimes. And then if I stop, you're just in trouble.
All right. What are we going to start with? Hey.
I came across something that I just thought was, I love stupid stuff. A lawmaker asked a question that is just like, he obviously needs an anatomy lesson. An Idaho lawmaker received a brief lesson on female anatomy after asking if a woman can swallow a small camera for doctors to conduct a remote gynecological exam. So I don't want to say who it was. It was Republican Representative Vito Barbieri.
Vito,
as the House State of Affairs Committee heard nearly 3 hours of testimony on a bill that would ban doctors from prescribing abortion-inducing medicine, he wanted to know, why not just drop a camera into the stomach so you can take a nice look at the vagina?
Now,
I don't think that that's a window to that part of the body.
No, it's
and,
not.
And so there's not a lot to say about that, but I found it stunning. Did you see this?
I heard the story, yes. It was a couple of weeks ago, and he really got a lot of criticism.
He caught some flack.
Yes, well, as well he should have.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because this feeds into the whole women not happy that these male legislators are telling them what they can and can't do with their bodies.
Exactly. And this guy has no idea how
understand.
The body is designed.
Right. Why can't we? Order! I have a proposal. Why don't we have little cameras that women, in order to save money on insurance programs and gynecological visits, they will swallow a camera, it will go through their system, and then we can see what's going on in the vagina.
That's right. And then a woman politician stood up and said, men should take that pill camera when they need to see whether or not they have prostatitis or some testicular disorder.
And I believe some women legislators said, Mr. Representative, you can take that camera and shove it up your...
and he said, I got a clean bill of health already. I just thought that, you know what, I love when that sort of thing happens.
Well, you know what, speaking of just a little stories, just something little that you saw, Rhonda gave me this. She's great. She's wonderful. She's giving me stories.
You should marry her. It's been a long time.
Well, you know what? We've been married 20 years. 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long time. I've been married 21.
Yeah. Have you really?
Yeah, 21 years.
We got a one-upper over here.
Yeah. He's always got to top me.
I'm sorry.
Don't be a one-upper.
Anyway, Rhonda
saw this. Thank you for pointing that up, Rob.
This is a story. Have you seen this TV show? There's a TV show on TLC called My Strange Addiction.
Yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, and the show is all about people with bizarre addictions.
Yes.
Okay, get this one. I'm just going to read. It was a write-up about the show. On Wednesday night's episode, this is from several weeks ago, Wednesday night's episode of TLC's My Strange Addiction, a Florida woman says she's not in an addictive or an obsessive relationship. She's apparently with her soulmate, which just so happens to be a 70-foot-tall skydiver carnival ride named Bruce.
Oh, no. Dr. Brunswick.
Yeah, really. Doesn't this sound like something that would be like in the Onion newspaper or National Lampoon or something?
Yes.
No, this is real.
She's in love with a ride.
She's in love with the ride. She says she has spent $90,000 to get him back up and running.
Oh, no. You know,
just a Cialis wouldn't do it.
Exactly. I was going to say there's probably a cheaper way.
Right. But... Yeah. You actually get to feel the experience of what Bruce does and what a skydiver really is. And there's no other ride that duplicates the sensation of a skydiver, said Linda on My Strange Addiction. Now, her illness, this is considered an illness, as well it should be.
Yeah.
She identifies as an objectum sexual, which means she has an orientation to love objects. This is actually Dr. Brunswick.
He said that somebody was in love with the George Foreman grill.
Yeah. And he said, I might have this because I was in love with my phone and my old car.
Right.
Yeah. So it's an actual disease, objectum sexual, where people love inanimate objects.
Well, I think you can relate to this. You were caressing your phone before we started the show.
She enjoys candlelight dinners with the ride. And compares her relationship to an old married couple.
Was it like a 70-foot-tall candle? Or
yeah, right.
How does he see the candle 70 feet below her?
And does she just like sit next to the... It's like a roller coaster kind of thing, right?
Well, a lot of people describe their relationships as being on this a roller coaster, literally, right?
Hey, like, Linda, how's your relationship?
Oh, it's like a roller coaster.
Really up and down? Yeah, literally.
Yeah. How does she know that her partner's enjoying the relationship?
I don't know. And does she... It's just strange.
Can a ride experience intimacy?
I think, depending on what she does on the ride.
And maybe it's determined by how much the ride costs.
I just got a bizarre image in my head.
I bet you did.
Yeah, of her enjoying the ride.
Oh, boy.
Boy, that's not good.
No.
That's not good.
You know, maybe sometimes she's intimate and it's going really well, but she needs a second ride.
And she does. She probably does complain. You know, that ride was only 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I was almost there.
Anyway, that's just a strange one. I've never heard of such a thing.
Now, when the relationship goes bad, does the ride get shorter?
Wouldn't it be funny if she drove up to the carnival? I don't know where it is. I don't know if she had it moved to her backyard or something. But wouldn't it be funny if she got there one night and there was like another roller coaster next to it, like it had found someone else?
or another woman, and she was just jilted because the ride said, you know,
Bruce,
what? The magic is gone.
Bruce, what have you done? What have you done?
I don't know if these are going to be as good, but do you know that since we think alike, mm-hmm. I just pulled out bizarre addictions?
Did you really?
Yes. And that's a topic
that you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
That is bizarre.
When you said that you had a bizarre addiction, I already had a list.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's hear them.
I got a few. I mean, they're not really as strange as that. I'm not going to go through the typical ones. Like, you know, you can be addicted to Diet Coke and to all of that stuff, you know, and surgery, people, you know, but we talked about
which
that
is
a lot.
Strange.
You know? That's a strange one. How about people who are addicted to ice?
Ice?
Yes. Some people become addicted to eating frozen water, which even has its own name, pagophagia. However, far more than a bizarre food addiction, it can actually be an indicator for iron deficiency and anemia. How did they find that out?
I don't know. That's very strange. Your body does crave what it needs.
Right.
So, for example, you know, like when you're working out, do you sometimes feel a desire for a banana? Because, like, if you...
He actually has one right there, right next to him.
You do have a banana next to you.
Is that a banana next to me, or am I just happy to see you?
I didn't even realize that.
No, I have a banana next to me, and it doesn't mean anything.
Well, but you always have a banana, don't you?
Sarah says so.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
So immature. You know,
we go in places we shouldn't go.
But sometimes when you're working out, like runners, they eat bananas because their body is
craving the potassium. I do eat bananas because I get cramps in my toes. I don't know why. I think it's funny. There's a correlation.
What?
No,
what?
There is. I get like in bed at night. Sometimes I get cramps in my toes, and somebody said to me, "You could be deficient. you could be missing potassium."
Did a doctor say this, or just somebody?
No, it was somebody in bed next to me. No, it was a doctor who said, "Why don't you try to increase your potassium intake?"
Whoa.
One great way of doing that is eating a banana. So I eat a banana, but I try to do it at times that are not peculiar.
I have learned something else new about you.
I get cramps in my toes.
A toe cramp sufferer.
Toe cramp sufferer. Yeah.
I'm Gary Stein. Do you get toe cramps?
Yeah.
Now, so let me ask you, because frequently if you're in bed and you get a toe cramp, sometimes
you jump out of bed.
Well, sometimes there's been some activity before that.
When
you get like the cramping in the feet.
Yeah.
So will you like immediately say, I need a banana?
No,
does Sarah say, I need a banana?
Wow. You know, you
were the one who.
I know, but you may have to deal with Sarah, you know, and you're not going to like that.
Well, okay. Don't play this part for her.
No, what I will do is I will suffer through the toe cramp.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I'll just try to think of baseball imagery just to get there sooner. I imagine that the banana's a bat. And then I try to just get through it, you know? Say, okay, I'm good. Then I jump out of bed. And have you ever done that where you have to jump out of bed and walk around? It happens too often to me.
Yeah, it happened once when her husband came home.
that's a knee slapper.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Yes.
Shecky Green is leaving the building.
Shecky Green. We haven't had an old reference in a long time.
No, we haven't.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
Corbett Monica.
Okay, that's enough.
All right. Burns and Schreiber.
All right. Are they both dead? Yeah, they're both dead, right?
We can check.
Jack Burns and Avery Schreiber?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think they're both dead.
I think so. Burns was the more straight-laced one.
Schreiber had the big mustache.
Yeah, the crazy hair.
Yeah, okay. the crazy hair and mustache.
I think they're both dead, too.
Yeah, you're the one who continues to talk about them like we're talking about Alan and Rossi.
No.
And there's no
like we're talking about Alan. Oh, as if they're as well-known as Alan and Rossi.
What, they're not?
They're not. They're well-known to people 80 and over.
Well, it's not like you mentioned Sandler and Young.
Go on with your bizarre. I know what bizarre addiction you have.
Yeah, I know. Bizarre addiction to dead comics from a different era.
Right, that's right.
All right, so this isn't commonly thought of as a food, but if you have this addiction, you like to eat glass.
Oh, I've heard of this.
How do you eat glass and not kill yourself?
I don't know. Do you grind it up?
I think you grind it up with your teeth.
Oh.
Because a man in Ohio is addicted to eating glass and doesn't even do it as part of some kind of show. He's just addicted to glass.
It's weird.
Something called environmental graffiti has more and even a video on it. Now, I don't know if I want to see a video.
Neither do I. And don't try these things at home. These are bizarre things. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but I've heard of people who eat glass, people who eat toilet paper.
Well, you just jumped the gun because that was going to be my closer.
Sorry.
No, that's all right, because we'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
But I never heard of anybody who ate toilet paper till I read this list.
Yeah, I've heard of that. And that has a name, too.
Well, let me ask you something. How does it taste?
I don't do it myself.
Well,
can't
hopefully,
imagine doing it.
If you're eating toilet paper, hopefully you're eating virgin toilet
paper,
right?
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there, of course. I believe that's what they do.
I'm a two-ply man myself.
Double up on that.
The other one would be referred to as scatological.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
It is.
And there's some of that, too.
Oh, can you?
I know.
But you don't even. I feel very done. Here's something that you probably like. This is an addiction I bet you enjoy.
Me?
Not that you do.
Oh, okay.
I bet you enjoy that people have this addiction.
Okay.
Some people have an addiction to tanning.
Tanning?
Yes,
yeah.
Because when you see people out on the beach tanning like crazy.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like they're trying to look like you?
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
Because black people say that, you know, that...
Yep. Ah, well, that used to be the thing. Ah, you hate everything about us, yet you want to look just like us.
Right, right.
Trying to get as dark as you can get.
Right, so yep. Obviously dark is good.
Yeah. Here's the thing that really is crazy to me about tanning, and I hear this all the time. In fact, I recently... A friend of mine, I saw, I said, what happened? You're all tanned. He said, I'm going on vacation, so I want it to pre-tan.
Oh, I know people who do that all the time,
yeah,
Tony.
They don't want to go out to the beach, take off their clothes, and be really white.
No, but you know why?
Why?
You know why? I mean, you're trying to make it a racial thing. Because
No, I'm not making it a racial thing. Yes, you are, because you've got problems.
You don't like white people.
No, white people.
You hate white people.
I don't hate
white
people.
You tell me that after the show every week. No, here's the practical reason for what you're talking about.
Okay.
People don't want to go to a vacation that they've spent a lot of money on,
mm-hmm.
and on the very first day get burned and not be able to enjoy the vacation.
Oh.
So they pre-tan so that when they get there, they're ready for the beach.
Got you. Okay.
Now, I would like to say that it's what you're thinking, what you're saying, but it's really not. There's a practical reason,
okay.
And that would be the only time I would want to go to a tanning salon. Except I don't burn.
Yeah, and
I'm a dark guy. I don't burn. No, I don't burn.
I've burned sometimes. I'm darker than you.
Yeah, but in many ways you're whiter than me.
No.
That's just not true. Yes,
that's
you
not
are.
True.
I'm so much. Wait.
That's racist.
Yeah, it is racist.
Yeah, you're saying because I like the Beatles.
No.
The Beatles.
Rob must keep his finger on that button.
And I think, I grew up on a lot more Motown than you did.
Don't you argue with me. No, I grew up
young
on
man.
Plenty of Motown. My whole early years were Motown, James Brown, Aretha Franklin.
All right, wait, okay. So, wait a minute. First of all,
Herman.
There's a certain dialect I can do that you can't do.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything, but...
Oh, man, I forgot something. You know what? We're going to have to do this next week, because you do this dialect. I think we did it.
We did it
on one of the bonus shows
on the
Celebrity Showcase.
Yes.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to the Celebrity Showcase, which one is it... Is it the one with Tom Bergeron and David Cassidy? Yeah.
But nobody really commented on it, so I'm not sure if they want to hear it again. So
Gary does a dialect. It's very funny. He's sometimes shy about it. He leaves me messages. The first time he ever left me a message on the phone with this voice, I thought, is this an uncle of mine calling me? It was so good. And I have to play for you. Someone called me at work and left me a voicemail at Fox 5 about some story idea. And when I started to play the message, I thought it was you. And it wasn't. It's someone who sounds exactly like the voice that you do.
Oh, and you have to play that.
Yeah,
you're going to play that.
I'll play that for
Get
you.
Get him on the show.
We'll do that.
Now, you are my closest black friend, but mm-hmm. I've had other black friends in my life.
You classify me.
I do.
Yeah.
And usually it's not on the upside.
Do you say to people, you're my closest white friend?
Always. No, in my case, I say you're my only white friend. So when my roommate in college, mm-hmm. who happened at least for a while, I remember he was black. When he would get upset about something,
mm-hmm.
that thing would come out, that kind of like dialect, that thing, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he spoke better than that. Mm-hmm. But when he was mad, you could hear a little bit of like, you know, his history, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
I remember once during GMA. You got really mad at something, and this is how you were really mad. And uh-huh. I figured, okay, he's going to sound like the dialect that I do as his uncle. And he said, this is Tony. Boy, oh boy, if this person said one more thing, I was going to go urban on him.
I swear that
you did. And I thought, boy, that's going to scare him. You know, if Tony's going to go urban, I don't even know what that looks like.
I don't believe that.
That's the expression you used.
I'm going
to go urban on him. And I thought, wow, you better run. And then I thought, wait a minute, Tony can't run. You don't have to.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Back to the addictions.
Okay, so I have a family member who actually, I don't know if it's necessarily an addiction in this person's case,
mm-hmm.
but there are people who are addicted to going to funerals, and they don't have to know the person.
They
go through the paper, they see what funerals are around, and they go...
Wow.
To the service, and they go to the cemetery.
That's strange.
But is it an addiction, or is that just what they're into?
Well, sometimes it's hard to know the difference between that. This is... what the description here says, as inevitable as births, funerals are also an unfortunate part of life. However, while most people are at the very least reluctant to attend a funeral, Luis Squarisi of Brazil never misses one. Short News, I never heard of that, reports that he's been to every funeral in his hometown since 1983.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I don't even think you have time to work.
No.
Unless you're a gravedigger.
Now, that, Rob, that's an addiction.
Yes.
That's not just being into
that
it.
That is wild.
Now, there is a job. What is a keener?
A keener?
Yes.
Does it have to do with funerals?
Uh-huh.
A keener. I'm going to guess the person who sets up the casket and everything.
No, that would be the caterer.
at a cannibal's funeral.
Exactly. No, did you know, I'm not sure if it's a Jewish thing or not, do you know that there are people that are professional criers?
No.
To be at funerals?
Why?
I swear.
Why?
Because you...
You kind of prime the room?
Yes.
I've never heard of
yes.
this.
Yes.
I've never, no.
Fans of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein, please write in and let us know if you have any experience with keeners, criers, people who are hired to professionally cry at funerals.
And send us your rates.
Are they? Is there worry that, oh, you know what? No one's really going to be sorry to see this guy gone. We got to get some
keeners
in
there. I don't know. It's very, very old.
Never
this is not something from this decade, from this, I don't think it's from this century. I think it goes way back. I could be making a fool out of myself right now, but I really do believe that I'm actually making sense. Let's see if we can actually find it while I do the next one.
Okay.
And all right. The next one is dirt.
Yes. This is a big one.
It is. Now,
this is a big one.
And that sounds really weird, right? But there's an upside.
Yes.
Apparently, there are a lot of nutrients in dirt. So we're talking about people who eat dirt, not people who play in dirt.
Yep.
Eating dirt is a real thing.
Yes, it
is. But in some cultures, and it's very smart, dirt contains phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, and other minerals that are essential.
Right.
And in areas, in other continents... It's very prevalent.
Yes, yes. Now
is that addiction? Well, I don't really think
well,
you would call
there it. Are some I have read that there are some people who are addicted to eating dirt. And again, we're not recommending anybody do this, but and you have to pick your dirt carefully. You don't just want to go out and scoop something up where a dog has probably peed or something.
Well, that would be different.
Yeah, that would be different. But
although apparently there is some value to waste. People, they've had urine because you're replacing something valuable in 20, what is it, 20, how many hours? 27 hours, 21
hours in a day?
No. The movie about the guy who cut his own arm off to get out.
21 hours, I think.
Yeah, he had to drink.
I hope we're right.
I don't know. God, 21, 27. I don't remember.
It might have been 27. Rob, you're going to have to look this up. We're putting Rob to work.
As if the hours make a difference. The fact is, whatever the hours were, he cut his arm off. He had to cut his arm off. But he drank urine several times to be able to survive.
That was a rotten day.
If that was me, I would have died.
You're drinking urine, cutting your arm off. I couldn't have done it.
No.
I couldn't have done it.
All right. So according to funeralwise.com, I don't know if that's a reliable source or not, but that's what I'm going with. It's apparently an Irish wake custom.
Oh.
And the keener, as the body was being prepared, it was never left alone until it was actually buried.
Oh.
And it was considered bad luck for the spirit. It would attract evil spirits if crying began before the body preparation was completed. And at that point, once it was completed, then the Caointh, or the lead keener, would start the crying and lamentations.
Really?
Okay, so you know,
and then just pass it around, kind of like a relay, until the actual funeral. And they would sit in the room with
them
until,
kind of protecting the body and the spirit.
That's amazing. Now, as I said, I thought it might be a Jewish thing. I was thinking it might be a Jewish or Irish thing, and I don't know actually if Jews do it, but I'd like to know. So we'll see.
I suspect they don't pay somebody to watch over the body.
I didn't
the whole
say
time.
They paid. You know what?
I know this show.
That's anti-Semitic.
Semantic. That's
it is.
Great. Thank you. What was the other thing? Oh, can you look up and tell me if that movie was 21 days or 27 days?
No. Hours.
Hours.
Days. Can you imagine if he's there for 27 days? There's more than his arm missing.
Was that James Franco?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Oh, it's 127 hours.
Oh!
What is it?
127. Okay.
We're so stupid.
I mean, 21 hours. You're not going to cut your arm off.
You got the digits right between the two of you.
But you know what's great? You know what's great? We're following this with a movie trivia game.
I know. This is perfect.
And I don't know anything.
It's a perfect segment. Yeah, really. This could, boy, that should be the first one.
Yeah, exactly. 21 hours.
Can we get Rob Spiewak on the phone?
Oh, don't
Mr.
bother.
Rob Ford? Yeah,
don't
so bother. Here's what we're going to do. Movie trivia, and in fact, we'll wait till we have him on the phone, and then we'll set the whole thing up.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
Okay, good. He's not home.
you hope he's not.
I'm going to play this with you.
No, I want Rob.
Hollywood Brown Derby.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown Derby. Hello, Rob Spiewak.
Hello, Tony Perkins. Hello, Mr. Stein.
Hello, Mr. Spiewak. Listen, I just want to say one thing before this thing started. I didn't know he was going to do this. And I want to say I've always thought of you and loved you as an older brother.
Older brother.
But let me tell you something. You're going down.
You know, my wife said the same thing to me on the honeymoon.
Yeah. And did you have liftoff? Did that work?
Hey, that's not my bit.
Well, luckily this one. I don't think
you did stay married.
I don't think you'll be so put out for this one.
We'll see how long the segment goes, and we'll see. I just want to warn you, I am down in my cave.
Okay.
I do not have access to my computer, so I'm playing it square.
Good.
And Carrie is doing some vacuuming, which is such an odd occurrence that I dare not ask her to stop.
Okay.
It's intermittent. So if you hear background noise, it's not the bombing of Great Britain. It is my wife house cleaning. Everybody, the dog tilted his head. The kid said, "What's that?" I said, "I know. You're not familiar with this sound."
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob. No, yes. Rob, does your wife ever get to New Jersey?
Actually, given the option of vacuuming or traveling to New Jersey, she might take New Jersey.
No, if she comes to New Jersey, she's vacuuming.
Oh, no, that's no way to get her.
We'll let the vacuuming.
I know that can be a rarity, so we'll let the vacuuming
Rob,
continue.
That's all we have time for.
No, it's
all
not.
All right, well, it's been a pleasure.
No, don't go away. Before I let
I'm
you go.
I'm worried about this, Rob.
No,
you know?
Is Rob Ford there?
Hey.
Okay, don't get happy. I just wanted to know if he was there.
Yes.
Everything, right, everything excites Rob Ford. So
we couldn't do it without Rob Ford. Rob Spiewak, I got to tell you, Gary is nervous. He was not thrilled when I told him that he would be competing against you.
Well, you know, we have a flawed mind that we share, flawed trait in our mind that we share. It'll be odd to see where our flaws take us.
Yes.
Because I think we are very equally matched, but probably in different arenas.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This could be interesting.
Right.
You know, you're very eloquent about our problem.
Yeah, our problem. And you're very eloquent to make it a singular.
Well, the last time we did this, Gary aced it, so he's going to be formidable competition for you. All right, let's start the music. We're going to play Movie Trivia. Yes, indeed. It's time for Movie Trivia. When you hear Hooray for Hollywood, you know the game is back in town. I'm your host, Wink Martindale, and we are joined by contestants Gary Stein of the Tony Perkins and Gary Stein Show. Hi, Gary.
Hi. It's really nice to be here.
We're glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Are you a foreigner all of a sudden and new to our ways?
No, I was just trying to be an amateur.
And our challenging contestant, you know I'm and love him from the Mike O'Mara Show and Cake and Cookies, Rob Spiewak.
Yay!
Thank you so much. You read the card wrong. It's a challenged contestant.
A challenged contestant.
Have you ever met Ken Jennings?
I have not.
Okay, good.
But I am described by many of my caretakers as high functioning.
As high functioning?
Yeah.
All right, here's how we're going to play, Rob. I am going to read a series of movie trivia questions. I will read them. I will be giving you the plots of the movies. You have to tell me what the movie is.
Be careful when you say the word plot. Gary might just...
You know what? I was just going to say the same thing. This is you and I are scary.
It's two sides. Two sides of the same coin. Here's how, and I have a coin here because we're going to decide something in a moment.
And he's got two sides.
Yes. Here's how it's going to go. The first of you to answer five questions correctly will then be able to play to ask one more question, answer one more question immediately, which will make you the winner. If you do not answer that question, the challenger gets to answer it and then continue on trying to get caught up. Understood?
Yes.
No. Is it a thing where we ring in, or do you talk to us one-on-one?
I will talk to you one-on-one.
That will be fun.
What would what would you ring, for God's sake?
Yeah, do you have a...
Hold on. Hey, I have...
Mine doesn't ring, so...
I have a cowbell.
He does. Oh, my God.
I have a larger cowbell. I have on a teacher's desk, and of course I have, when you decide to be a disc jockey, the union sends you one of these.
You have a home studio. Not That's not fair.
I was going to say, this. Your man cave is not like most man caves.
No,
no. No, it's not.
It's like a prop.
It's sort of very elegant man cave.
All right, I'm going to flip a coin. Gary, you call it, and whoever wins this can determine who wants to go first. Gary.
Tails.
Tails. It is tails. Do you want to go first or you want to defer?
What does that mean?
That means Rob would
I'm
go first.
I'm kidding. I know what it means.
I had my dog deferred.
I don't know if there's an advantage, but I'll go first because I don't want Rob to talk anymore.
All right. Gary is going first. Rob, you will also have to listen to the question, okay?
Good luck, Gary.
Yeah. And I'll help you guys out.
Good luck, Rob.
Yeah, I'll help you guys out. Let's see. First
I love you,
one.
Man.
I love you.
All right. Here is the plot from this movie. I'm not going to give you the decade this time because I think that would be giving you too much. Here we go. Here's the plot. A New York gangster, Gary, takes a bet that he can romance an attractive Salvation Army missionary. A New York gangster takes a bet that he can romance an attractive Salvation Army missionary.
And you're starting with Guys and Dolls?
Oh my God! Oh my God! Rob, did you know that one?
I did, but I wouldn't have answered it quite so jerkily.
I didn't answer it jerkily. I answered it eloquently, and you're not allowed to say how I answer if I'm right.
Right, it's not my turn.
You know, we're not getting along.
By the way, Tony, has Gary grabbed the coin that you flipped yet?
Rob, is that yet another Jewish slur?
No. Want to make sure you don't want to leave anything behind in the studio.
Just you.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to ask a follow-up question. This is not for points. I just want to see if you can get it.
Go ahead, dear.
What year, Guys and Dolls?
All right. 1955.
Wow, very good. Very
nice
good.
Job. Very good.
All right. Gary is
Marlon
leading
Brando,
one to nothing.
Frank Sinatra. Stubby K, Vivian Blaine,
Stubby
and
K?
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, you're right. Stubby K is in there.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Rob, your question. Ready?
Yes.
Here is the plot to your movie. The only thing a Borstal boy does well is run, and as he trains, he thinks back to his depressing life.
The only thing a what boy?
Borstal. That's B-O-R-S-T-A-L. I guess that's where he's from.
And he thinks back to his depressing life?
He thinks as
is this the
wait,
Rob
Spiewak?
Wait. Is this the Rob Spiewak story?
No.
No, he can't run. I'm going to guess, and this is a guess, I'm going to guess Chariots of Fire.
No. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry, Rob.
Ooh, if you want to be Alex Trebek, ooh, I'm sorry.
Ooh, yes, I'm sorry.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
It is not Chariots of Fire. Gary, do you want to try? As he's waving me off saying I don't
want
to try that one.
No, I want my own question. What was that?
You don't want this one?
Oh.
You have to take this one first.
I do?
Yeah.
I do? Okay.
Yeah. The only thing a Borstal boy does well is run, and as he trains, he thinks back to his depressing life.
The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner?
Holy cow, that is right.
Yeah. Wow, good for you.
Directed by Tony Richardson, 1962, a film from Great Britain.
Yes. Well, Borstal boy is going to be from Great Britain.
Okay, all right.
Wow. Sean O'Casey wrote stories about Borstal boy.
Yeah, I knew that.
No, you didn't.
No, I don't even know who Sean O'Casey is.
Oh, don't say that because he's a very famous writer.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
Oh, there
he wrote. What was that other book?
He thought I was talking about the restaurant chain.
All right, Gary.
That was called Popeyes.
Gary, now. Oh, there are all kinds of racial references going on.
I can't believe
here.
I got the last one. I'm serious. I don't know how. I never saw that movie, so I have no idea.
I guess I give you a point for that, right?
It's 5 points.
Yeah, no, you get a point. Rob, he's leading 2-0. Here's your, get another question.
I do.
I don't get one.
Well, you just answered his.
All right, you go to him now.
Rob Ford. Should Gary get the next one?
No, I think he should because Gary did the.
He did the steal,
and now it's back to him.
All right, it's back to Gary. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Rob.
All right.
You know what? I'll deal with it.
Ring your cowbells. Ring your cowbells for a little bit. All right, Gary. Here we go.
You know, Rob, you're not a good sport.
Here is the.
I'm not good at anything, apparently.
Here's the plot to this movie. A plain single woman goes into therapy, impulsively embarks on a love affair, throws off her inhibitions, and starts behaving like a vivacious socialite. A plain single woman goes into therapy, impulsively embarks on a love affair, throws off her inhibitions, and starts behaving like a vivacious socialite.
Is this Shirley Valentine?
No, it is not. I'm sorry. Rob, would you like an attempt at this?
You know what? It has Betty Davis and Paul Henreid.
That's right.
And her psychiatrist is played by the great, a man who I changed my Facebook photo to today, the great Claude Rains, a man who never made a bad movie. And it has the scene where Paul Henreid
lights
a cigarette. And hand fun to Betty Davis.
Wow.
And the music, you know, we've got the stars. And for some reason, I am having a horrible time coming up with the name of it. So I am tap dancing like Donald O'Connor right now.
I've
seen this movie 1,000 times.
So all you have to do is say Now Voyager.
That's what I would have to say is Now Voyager.
I think we both get half a point.
Yeah, well, that's he gave you everything there, though. Rob gets a point. Rob gets a point.
And you know what? There is a sequel to it called Then Voyager.
You know what's amazing? Rob, it's amazing that I didn't know that. It's one of my favorite movies, and I haven't.
We've talked about it before.
I know. I got lost in the decades. I thought it was more recent.
Mm. All right.
But you see, we're cluttered. We have the cobwebs going on.
We do.
All right, this one's going to be tough, I think. Whose turn is it?
Back to Rob?
It's Gary. Is it back to Rob?
Back to Rob. All right.
Well, he only partially got it.
I'm not going to give half points.
You're very strict. You could have been a teacher.
All he didn't have was the name, although that's what you're supposed to have.
Yeah, I had that.
Yeah, I really couldn't get anything.
Do you know the minute he said Betty Davis, I knew it was Now Voyager?
Should I give him half a point? You're so competitive. We talked about this last week.
I know I am. You want to play racquetball?
I'm going to.
I want 3/7 of a point.
3/7.
And Gary can have 4/7 of a point.
Okay.
Oh, no. I think you get more than me. I do.
Let's split it 50-50.
All right, 50-50.
All right, so Gary now has 2.5. Why am I letting the contestants decide? And Rob,
because you have no backbone.
Rob has half a point, so Gary's leading by 2. Rob, here you go.
Yes.
Let's see. All right, here's the plot. A law-abiding armored car guard starts courting his treacherous ex-wife, who is involved with a wealthy mobster, and both of them get drawn into plans for a dangerous heist. 1948, a law-abiding armored car guard starts courting his treacherous ex-wife, who is involved with a wealthy mobster, and both of them get drawn into plans for a dangerous heist.
It rings no bells.
That's it. It rings no bells. No, I'm kidding.
It rings no bells. But judging from the year, it sounds really Warner Brothers-y. I'll guess, but I know it's wrong. White Heat?
Oh, White Heat. Good guess,
no.
Sorry.
Is there anything else that you, since it's a really, really hard one.
Sure.
Is there anything else you can give me?
One of the stars is Burt Lancaster. Burt Lancaster.
Okay, and now just
And if you like, Gary, I will do an impression of Frank Gorshin laughing like Burt Lancaster.
Let's hear that.
Let me just ask you a question.
Okay.
Is it a two-word title?
It is a two-word title. See, he's got kind of a photographic memory.
No, I have a strange mind. Okay. I just do, and I can't explain it.
It's a two-word title.
There's something wrong with me.
Okay.
Does the first word start with the letter F?
No.
He's doing this the way Kreskin does it. For some reason, I'm seeing a K. Is there a K involved?
You know, and I'm old-timey, huh? And you went to, you know, wait, it's also the way the amazing Randy would have done it.
That's great. He's doing it the way Kreskin does it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm seeing, you know, it is, but my mind works like that. I see two words.
Yeah, there are two words. They both start with the same letter, not F. I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
Okay, now wait. Now, but this isn't me being wrong, right? It's me not being able to answer Rob's question.
Well, you're wrong. So, you don't get deducted a point, but you just don't get a point.
No, there's no points for guessing.
Thank you very much. Criss Cross is the name of that movie. Criss Cross.
Yeah, like you would have.
Criss Cross will make you jump.
Yeah, like you would have.
That's a different Criss
Cross. You would have known it, Tony.
I wouldn't have known it. Burt Lancaster, Yvonne DiCarlo was in it.
Oh.
Billy Munster, still Bach.
Yeah.
All right.
Gary's turn.
Yeah. I missed that, so it's Gary's turn.
Okay, let me find a good one. That's too easy. All right, here we go. This is another one from Great Britain. Here's the plot. After the death of their small daughter, a church restorer and his wife travel to Venice and meet two old sisters who claim a connection with the girl. The husband scorns the idea, but repeatedly sees a little red-coated figure in shadowy passages by the canals and decides to track it down. Gary looks puzzled.
You are so vicious
in
your obscurity.
I'll give you the year, 1973.
One more time.
Okay, 1973. No, I'm sorry. after the death of their small daughter, a church restorer and his wife travel to Venice and meet two old sisters who claim a connection with the girl. The husband scorns the idea, but repeatedly sees a little red-coated figure in shadowy passages by the canals and decides to track it down.
The only red-coated figure I know of was from Schindler's List. You know, this is certainly a movie I've never seen. I know that.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if we're allowed to ask for a hint because I have no connection to this.
I gave you 1973. That's a hint.
All right, then go to Rob.
All right, Rob, I'll give you an additional hint. There is a celebrated sex scene in this movie.
Well, I celebrate them all. I mean, I go all out. Dreamer's hat, the whole deal. If there is a celebrated sex scene. It wouldn't be Last Tango in Paris, because they're in Venice.
Right, that's right.
I'm just thinking Death in Venice.
Death in Venice. No, that is not correct. I'm sorry. This movie starred Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie. It's Don't Look Now by Nicholas Roeg was the director. I saw that in film school.
Aren't you something?
You don't have to give
me... Are they still offering obscure women in red clothes to 402 at film school?
Aren't you something? I don't recall contestants on game shows getting surly with the All right,
that's surly.
You just haven't. Yeah, he hasn't watched enough game shows.
All right, who's next? Who's next? Rob Ford.
Rob Spivak. So I thought me.
All right, here we go. Rob, you got to catch up here. Here's the clue: 2 days in the life of a young alcoholic writer.
Oh, I know this.
Okay, let's see if Rob can get it. Rob Spivak.
The Lost Weekend.
The Lost Weekend is right.
I know.
Billy Wilder. Very good. Yeah. Rob has...
Nice. Looking in a mirror.
Yeah, no. nothing like stacking the deck.
I'm not stacking the deck. I have...
Hey, we each got a British film. I think he's playing pretty fair.
Listen, you mind your own business.
All right, here you go.
See the surliness?
Yeah,
he
doesn't like losing. He will actually injure himself.
I don't mind losing. I don't like either one of you.
No, this... All right, here we go.
All right.
Stop attacking me.
It's my turn.
Your turn. Here's Gary. Here is your plot. An ambitious young lawyer gets a plum job with a prestigious law firm only to find strings attached. It offers other unspecified services for the mob. He then finds himself caught between organized crime heavies and suspicious federal agents.
Does this movie involve a young man that my wife dated?
Yes, it does.
So this would be The Firm.
It is The Firm. And yes, Gene Hackman is in that movie.
That's
Tom
very
Cruise.
Good.
Very good. Okay.
All well, right. I'm not going to make a joke about the dating in The Firm. I'm not going to.
Did you know that one, Rob?
I would have gotten that, yes.
Yes, okay. All right. Very good, Gary. All right, Rob, here we go. Two piano-playing brothers recruit an escort-turned-chanteuse to pep up their failing act. Gary is disgusted.
For God's sake. You know what? A monkey would know this one. That's not fair. You know, come on.
A monkey.
You know what?
Helen Keller. Not only are they Baker Boys, they're fabulous Baker Boys.
You know, Helen Keller would have known this.
Oh, my God.
It was Helen Keller's favorite movie.
Oh, my God. All right. The score is Gary Stein, 3.5. Rob Spiewak, 2.5. It is Gary's turn. All right. I'm not going to try to stump you here. Let me find something. Okay. This is a good one. Here we go. Here's the description. An American charter boat captain in Martinique gets involved with Nazis. The year is 1945.
You know, I don't want to say the wrong Bogart film, so just...
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, because this is bad, because it can't be African Queen, can it, Rob? It can't be African Queen. Mm. That was later.
Can I offer a clue?
Sure.
Was she ever stung by a dead bee?
I don't know the answer to that. Well, in this movie?
That would be that Walter Brennan is in this film, is he?
Yes, he is.
Is Lauren Bacall?
Yes, she is.
I'm having the same moment that Rob had with Now Voyager, so just give me a second.
Okay, all right.
The movie is To Have and Have Not.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Very good. Wow. Wow, okay. Gary has 4.5. One half.
I loved your clue, because that's one of the great lines of that movie, isn't it?
I don't remember that.
It's symbolic, too, about, you know, something that is seemingly harmless.
Yes.
Causing a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
Here's your plot, Rob. An orphaned young man is taken in by a kindly doctor who runs an abortion clinic in the heart of New England.
Oh, I know
this. The Cider House Rules?
Yeah, yes. Very good.
Yep.
Wow, 19...
And by the way, I went to the Cider House, and it rules. Never mind.
3.5. All right, Gary.
Excellent.
Gary, if you get this
one
right...
Hey, Rob, typically we are neck and neck, really. I mean, you know what?
We're not... The score is not that far apart.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But our knowledge is there, boy.
All right, here we go. Gary Stein. A depressed suburban father recalls the events leading up to his own murder. A depressed suburban father recalls the events leading up to his own murder. 1999. Rob Ford is indicating that he knows the answer.
Something
to this
for my generation.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay.
No, Rob Ford is indicating that he thinks it might be about his
I guess I don't know why this isn't like, is it something that I should really know?
I think you know this.
Just do it again, please.
Okay.
Do it in Pig Latin.
A depressed suburban father recalls the events leading up to his own murder.
American Beauty.
Oh!
Nailed it.
Oh! Wow. Gary Stein has 5.5 points, a score no one has previously been able to reach. And that gives him the opportunity now, Rob Spiewak, to answer a question and win. I didn't even get to say what either of you wins. Whoever wins this game gets to select the movie on DVD or Blu-ray that you would like for me to purchase for you.
Wow.
Okay.
Ah.
Yes. Okay.
So. Yes. It won't be a British film.
Whatever it's going to be, I'm going to choose like the special edition.
It can't be a box set, but all right.
The word
see.
You're looking for, Criterion.
Right, so. Criterion. There you go. All right, let me find a good one here because it's for the win.
No points on the board, but definite bonus points in the judges' consideration for the drama on the American Beauty answer. Very well.
Yo, thank you. Thank you very much.
It was like watching 21.
All right, Gary, for the win.
Oh, boy.
Here is the plot of your movie.
Okay.
A vengeful mercenary hired to bring order to a border town pits rival families against each other and watches them destroy themselves. Gary is looking very serious, searching the recesses of his mind.
The year?
The year is 1964.
One more time.
1965, I'm sorry.
Funkin' Wagnall's Porch.
Right, that's right. A vengeful mercenary hired to bring order to a border town pits rival families against each other and watches them destroy themselves. It's for the win. If he does not get it, it goes to Rob Spielman.
Can I ask anything? Is it a Western?
Yes, it is a Western.
Is it with Clint Eastwood?
It is with Clint Eastwood. That's the last question I will answer.
You're very strict.
Take your guess now.
Yeah, you probably should give me some. Wait, one sec. Let me just.
I've got to go to Rob. I'm sorry.
No. I have answers.
All right, you have 3 seconds.
I'm trying to think of which one of the movies.
Okay.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
No, good guess. No. Rob Spiewak, would you like to guess?
Great guess, but I think 1964 is too early
for those spaghetti-type
westerns. So it's got to be Clint making something in the United States.
Yes.
I think it's too late to be Liberty Valance.
Oh, he wasn't in that. He was not in Liberty Valance.
And also the fact that he wasn't in it is another killer. So I worked through my entire thought process because, you know, Liberty Valance, bad guy. But with Clint Eastwood, I just associate him with television in that era.
No. 64, I think he was still making movies with Sergio Leone.
Yes, he was.
That's the director of this movie.
Yes, he was.
It's not Hang 'Em High because that was later. It's not Joe Kidd because that was later.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's the first of those string of movies.
Can I say it? Even though I don't get the point. Don't give me the point.
Okay.
It might be A Fistful of Dollars.
You are correct. You are correct, but too late. Correct, but too late. Very good. All right. It is now time for Rob Spiewak to get I think it was the first of those movies. Because remember,
The spaghetti westerns.
Yeah,
and that
he went over there and did those.
After Rawhide,
yeah.
He went over to Italy.
All right, here we go. Mr. Spiewak, you should like this. A narcoleptic male prostitute searches for his long-lost mother with help from a rich friend. 1991.
I know this.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. He says, I should like this. Narcolepsy, the one movie that jumps to mind, is it Memento?
Ooh, no. That's a good guess, though. I mean, only because there's narcolepsy in it. Incorrect. Gary Stein.
I think I was thinking of the wrong movie, but is this film with Al Pacino?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. Then the plot again, then, please.
A narcoleptic male prostitute searches for his long-lost mother with help from a rich friend. 1991.
Yeah, 91's too early for Memento anyway.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, just the plot one more time. Now, you don't have to give me anything else, the plot.
A narcoleptic male prostitute searches for his long-lost mother with help from a rich friend, directed by Gus Van Sant.
American Gigolo.
No. My Own Private Idaho, starring River Phoenix. Yep, okay.
Never saw it.
I don't think I saw it either. All right. What's your name? Rob Spiewak. Here you go.
Yes, correct. That's good. 1 point for Tony Perkins.
Here is your plot. A middle-class drifter jilts his pregnant mistress for his brother's fiance, but finally leaves both and hitches a ride to nowhere in particular. 1970.
Plot seems vague and not remarkable.
Right.
The note, based on the year and the notion of the drifting, I will guess Easy Rider.
Oh, that's a fantastic guess. It is incorrect, unfortunately, but that's a very good guess. Very good guess.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is there somebody in this movie that was in Easy Rider? I'm wondering if Jack Nicholson is in this movie.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So are we talking about Five Easy Pieces?
Five Easy Pieces. Gary Stein wins. Woohoo!
Wow.
Another opening, another show. Another opening, another show.
Well, both of you, well done. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
You know, I think I would be terrible at this. I think it's very hard to hear the plot.
It is.
And then try to figure out, okay, what is that? There are some familiar elements. And yeah, I think that's hard. You guys,
and some of them are fairly vague.
Right, that's right.
But it was a great game. I doffed my cap to thee.
Thank you. You're a great sport, Rob. You do. You win the home edition of the game, and
which is a VCR.
Right.
You get the home edition of the Tony Perkins Show.
That's right, Rob. Thank you very much for playing, man. It's always good to have you on the show.
Wonderful. Love you, man.
My pleasure. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Rob Spivak from the Michael Mara Show and Cake and Cookies.
Yeah, you know, I love this.
That was
it is really fun.
That was challenging.
It does make me nervous.
You're very good. You're very, very good. The descriptions of the movies and all the information came from Hollowell's The Movies That Matter, edited by David Gritton. A wonderful book if you're a film fanatic. For each movie listed, it has all kinds of information. The year, how long the running time is, the country it was made in, director, actor, screenplay writer, cinematographer, quotes from the movie. It's
now,
fantastic.
I'm going to contrive a game for you that will be all music related. It'll be all music detail. I think it'll be fun. I think we'll just play it with you alone.
Okay.
And then if it goes well, then we'll find somebody else who knows movie music trivia like you. I'm not sure. Is there anybody in the Omira world who knows the Rob?
Yeah, Rob.
Rob Ford?
It would be Rob Spivak.
Rob Spivak again.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you know what? He would know a lot of what I know. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Then we're going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to do that.
He's our go-to quiz guy.
Now, I don't think we have all that much time left.
No,
can I tell one quick story?
Please do. Yes.
You know that I like to tell embarrassing, horrible, ridiculous, wonderful, strange encounters with the star stories.
Yes, you do.
And I'd like to mention one that is very apropos for today. And this is probably the second time in the show that we use the word apropos. Except you asked if you were using it right. I already know that I am.
Well, because I'm never sure.
Well, because you cleared it up earlier in the show.
Right.
So now you know.
That's right.
I wonder if people say, like, I really love that show. Tony Perkins is great and Gary Stein is an asshole.
I don't think so. My family says that.
No, actually, your son says I'm the funny one.
I know. I can't even win at home.
And Rhonda laughs at me, too.
Yes, she does.
Okay, so here is a moment with a star that is a wonderful, revealing thing about somebody.
Okay.
I'm 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go to Philadelphia to visit a relative. And nobody in my family's going. So they arrange for, I'm taking the train down.
By yourself?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And in those days, the trains would arrange for a chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the chaperone turned out to not be available, which made my parents very nervous.
Mm.
And so the people on the train sat me with someone else. And they put me in like a car, with one person.
Mm-hmm.
A fairly substantial man. Big,
mm-hmm.
big guy,
mm-hmm.
older, and I'm sitting by myself, and I think that he just wanted to make sure that I was okay and just started asking me questions, where are you going? And, and back in those days, you weren't suspicious of people.
Right,
And like I said, I'm 8 years old,
right.
8 years old, and I have not traveled alone before. So I'm fine. I'm on the train. I'm enjoying it, but this guy's making me feel better. He just, where are you coming from? And I tell him, and where are you headed? And I tell him where I'm headed. And he says, do you like movies? And I said, yeah, I love movies. And he said,
can I just ask one thing? He didn't say, do you like Gladiator movies, did he? Because
no,
this could go in a whole other direction.
No. And he was not the star of Mission Impossible. So he said, do you like films? And I said, I love films. And he said, what are your favorite films to watch? Now I'm 8, but I'm already a bit of a film guy,
mm-hmm.
And so I said to him, my favorite films are Burt Lancaster Westerns.
Wow.
And he started laughing. I wish Rob was still on the phone because he went, ha 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 ha.
Are you serious?
And he said, which of those Burt Lancaster films do you like the most? And I said, I think my favorite of your movies was Gunfight at the OK Corral.
So you realized.
His jaw dropped.
Wow, you're kidding me.
I went to Philadelphia on the train with Burt Lancaster.
You're kidding me.
No.
And you knew who it was.
Yes.
At 8 years old.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I had a very sad childhood.
But that's amazing.
You know something? When I was a little, we reveal too much about it, but everybody says people like the fact that you reveal yourself.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I got into sports is because I was a very asthmatic kid and I didn't really take many gym classes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to do that very much.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I was even home from school because of asthma.
Sure.
Sometimes I was in the hospital
mm.
for asthma for a week at a time. I fell in love with Million Dollar Movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Million Dollar Movie in the New York area. Yep. Ida, did you have it here?
We didn't. It wasn't called Million Dollar Movie, but it was the afternoon movie, whatever it was called. Came on every day, and you know.
Now, you know what was the weird thing about it? It was the same movie that played all day long.
Oh.
So Million Dollar Movie in New York was one film on Channel 9, WOR, Channel 9, and that movie would play four times a day.
Wow.
And I would watch it four times a day.
Wow.
So I got to see a ton of films because I was in bed and I was watching movies, and that's where my love affair with film came from.
Well, you know what? You're revealing something. Let me reveal something. I thank my mom for my love of movies, because when we grew up kind of at the same time, and it was back in the day when old movies were shown on TV, like on Channel 5 here in town on Sundays. That's all you saw, old black and white movies.
That's right.
Could be comedies, a musical, a
crime
film.
We had that too.
Yeah.
We had that too.
And in the afternoon, you could see Channel 7, I think, used to do a thing. If I recall correctly, it wasn't Million Dollar Movie, but it was something like that where they would call somebody. I think you sent in a postcard with your phone number, and then the guy in the middle of the movie would have to be on a cheap little set. He would call you, and if you answered, you know, what today's movie is or something, that you won something like a toaster or something.
Uh-huh.
But even as a kid,
it sounds like dialing for dollars.
It was something like that. Uh-huh. Even as a kid, I remember thinking, because he would call, and my recollection is that half the time they weren't home or they didn't know or whatever, and I would think, shouldn't they have people calling him? You
yeah,
know,
right.
And he just picks a winner.
That's
it was
funny.
Very strange. But anyway, we were exposed to all these movies.
Yes.
Now young people are not, there's something about that old cinema that it creates this love of movies, and it helps you know where we have come from.
Absolutely.
I love growing up that way.
Me too. And also nowadays, a lot of young people will say that they won't watch a movie in black and white because it's like, yep. How can it be good? It's like, it's an old movie. It's in black and white. Why would I watch
it? Right. Well, you know what? Some of the greatest movies ever made were in black and white.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's great. Burt Lancaster. Very, very cool.
Taking a Train?
I know. But
Burt Lancaster?
Yeah, that was meant to happen.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
meant to happen. Yeah. All right. We are out of time. Rob Ford, thank you for everything.
Oh, sure thing. Congratulations on your win, Gary.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, do you need to think about it, or do you know off the top of your head what movie you want?
No, I do need to think about it.
I will
very nice
you.
Of you. You don't have to do that.
No, I will do it. That's the prize.
Can I get 10 movies?
One movie, Blu-ray or DVD.
Okay.
Not a multi-pack.
Okay.
We thank Rob Spiewak for playing along. And as always, we really thank you for listening. We've had a great time. Happy St. Patrick's Day once again. And we will see you next week.
Take care.
The Tony Perkins Show, a Moore Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Burt Lancaster is Wyatt Earp. Kirk Douglas is Doc Holliday. Two infamous gunfighters destined for a classic showdown.
I understand there's a gentleman in from Fort Worth to see me. Tell him I'll be waiting for him at Boot Hill. No gentleman at all. He's the son of a yellow-bellied sow. I'll give you 5 seconds to unbuckle your gun. One. Two. Three. Four.
We had enough fun, boys. Unbuckle him.
Harry, Jackson, get the hot. Get moving.
Anybody else want to try their luck?
Look, Holliday, as long as I'm the law here, not one of those cowpokes is going to cross that deadline with a gun. I don't care if his name is Shanghai Pierce.
Well spoken. I'll repeat those words at your funeral.
They're joining forces for the gunfight at the OK Corral.